Hi, I'm Daniel Baker. I'm the one presenting this today. I'm glad to see it have a good turnout here. I've been telecommuting for the last 10 years or so now. Work for a company out in California. I live here in Georgia. I don't go on site or anything like that. So I'm dealing with this for a bit. It's sort of one-sided from a I'm an IT professional. I'm a Usenet administrator. I don't have experience in a broad sense to the different types of telecommuting that can be out there, but I do have an idea of the issues that one can run into. I guess I'm also kind of lucky that I work entirely with a team comprised of telecommuters. Everybody else who is in my section of the company telecommutes, including my boss, which, as I'll mention later, is a big help. You know, he has the same perspective that we all do. I will be primarily talking about full-time telecommuting because that is what my direct experience is with. I haven't had to do the, you know, one day in or, you know, 4 days off or anything like that. I don't have to go into the office at all, make any sort of appearance. But I will touch on the variations such as that as much as I know about them. If y'all have any questions as I go, feel free to just raise a hand and Scott will come around. And be able to get the mic to you, and we'll just, you know, pick up from there. And otherwise, I'll have let you all ask questions at the end. As I said, I've been doing this for about 10 years. I work from my home. I have, you know, used my own equipment there. I'm primarily connecting and working on machines, doing coding, scripting, general system administration type tasks. I don't have to deal much with paperwork, which I find to be a boon, so I don't have to deal with too much in the way of home equipment for a, you know, fax machine or anything like that. I did have the awkwardness of moving to an area which did not have broadband. At that, you know, when I first moved in, I had to convince a company that dial-up wasn't going to cut it, that I needed a T1 there.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, compared to cable, you know, my upload speeds are great. Oh, that's wonderful. Other than that, I find that for the tasks that I end up having to do, that I can get by with having, you know, one or more computers, a decent home network, and of course, real connectivity. And in this case, the benefit of having real connectivity, you know, having a T1 over having a consumer level account is, of course, that, you know, when you are telecommuting, that is really what, you know, you're doing. This is your way of getting anything done. If you go offline because of the whimsy of some cable company, they may not really listen to you. You may even be in violation of the terms of service to work in a strict sense over their lines or consumer level lines. So it's important to be able to have someone who will, you know, jump when you need it and come and fix things as quickly as you can, because it's as if you're out of the office. And that's, you know, one of the first things that I found that's been a problem is, you know, if you're disconnected, you're disconnected. You can't get much of anything done, at least in my case. There are others of you, like I heard a gentleman there talking about, he does web design. I don't know if that's contract-based or true telecommuting, you know, for an employer, where you could be getting things done, but you may miss a deadline. So you really do need real connectivity to do true telework that involves the internet. And let's see, the other things that I found that have been useful for me and to telecommute effectively is I have, I hope I don't make a lie of this, decent communication skills, being able to talk on the phone, portray yourself in a professional manner, you know, don't yell at the cats and kids when you're on those conference calls, that sort of thing, and be able to compose a decent email, know when you should call rather than sending an email, you know, don't leave a paper trail for those heated discussions and course corrections to your coworkers who may already, you know, they don't know you necessarily if you telecommute. I was hired into my current job sight unseen. They wanted me to do contract work. I said I didn't have any more time for that to add to my schedule for that, but if they wanted to hire me, they could. I wasn't going to move to California because California isn't my place. So they hired me sight unseen. They knew that I could do the job because they had been talking to me at my previous position, pretty much trying to help them out as best I could. But it took them over a year and a half before they even had a visual of me. And at the time when they finally, you know, had seen me over some crude webcam 10 years ago, I was told by the support person who was the first one to see me, they thought I was about 10 years older than I actually was. They had it in their minds that I would sit there at work telecommuting in a suit, you know, and tie, and doing this just because of the nature of my emails, that I really did compose everything in full. And when speaking on the phone, I guess I go into business mode, and they really didn't know the real me with the, you know, long hair and sitting around, you know, and I don't own a suit, you know. It's and that's why I telecommute. That is one of the beauties of this, is that you really can be judged more by your abilities than, you know, and by what you can put forth, as opposed to, you know, somebody may think, you know, I just don't like how, you know, Bob looks, you know, or Sam over there gives me the creeps, you know, or and just, you know, I don't like how he wears squeaky shoes to work, you know, that's just wrong. But, you know, at home, I can get by with whatever I want, you know, and wear slippers all day, or, you know, pet the cat around the keyboard as I type. So there are definitely, you know, benefits from this. The other thing that I found that's very important for telework, and that I've unfortunately seen both sides of, is that you either have to have a very strong sense of discipline, which, you know, mine is probably so-so, but I had a real passion for my work. So it's interesting to me. You know, it's always been fun to me. It's a nice challenge. You know, I'm the firefighter type, so when something breaks, I can be right on top of that. I don't mind taking a call at midnight to walk somebody through rebooting a server while I'm out. You know, it's these things weren't ever a problem to me. I didn't require any real motivation from my employers. I just needed tasks to do. I just needed to know that, you know, this is what our goals were, and I could set my own pace for that. And I had the freedom to do that originally. And so it started out, you know, as a small three-man company and grew from there. I ended up hiring a friend, however, who I figured would be better off at all this than I was. You know, somebody I'd gone to school with, you know, a student, which I was not, and seemed very motivated in school and, you know, very driven. But when he got into a homework or working from home environment here, it turned out that perhaps he was more ridden by his parents and driven by any sort of internal fire to do all this himself. And that really makes a difference. You know, if you can be distracted at home, if you don't think that this is the most important thing that you can be doing, just as if you were in an office, you know, if you really need that, somebody else imposing discipline on you, it can be difficult to work from home. There's so many other things that can compete for your time, and that can definitely cut into your ability to get tasks done and to, you know, appear to be on task if you happen to talk to your boss or coworkers. So, you know, in his case, it just didn't work out for him. You know, he thrived once he got back into an office environment. But, you know, it's disappointing and surprising to me, and, you know, sort of chagrining, because I had recommended him and I was effectively his manager as he did this. So it can be difficult. It's also something where it's difficult to manage people remotely if you don't have any experience with that. And people who you know, who you deal with, your typical boss who has a bunch of employees, they may live in, you know, a vast expanse of cubicles, or they may have, you know, their own offices, whatever. He can pop in on you, you know, that thing that he forgot, you know, he can meet with you for lunch, you know, and do all these things. So really, it can make it a little bit easier for the people who are managing you if they've got you under their thumb, if you're always there in that manner. So that's something that if you are more motivated to your task, you're going to come off better with this. If you really feel a passion for what you're doing, you know, and really are trying to strive to do your best with this, you know, and are interested in it, you're going to come off better. And of course, the third thing, the professional demeanor, which I had mentioned, that's going to really serve you well with dealing with people such as a boss who may not have experience with this. Other people in the company, company that I work for has, we were Borged after the dot bombing. We were picked up by another company, and they didn't know who we were. We made money. They didn't care. You know, what's this Usenet thing? We do email, you know. We made money, though. You know, money kept trickling in. There's no reason for us to just be shut down. They did shut down the other part of the company, which they did know what it did, but it didn't make any money. But these other people didn't have experience with teleworkers. They had people all over the world, but they were all in offices. So we come along, and we're all working from home, and they have no concept of how to deal with this. And it made for awkward times for a while, you know, as we were so much out of sight, out of mind, that we really had to be able to present ourselves well, you know. And when we went into conference calls, when we were called upon to do something with the whole company, you know, or to do something with a different division of the company, we really had to comport ourselves probably higher than we could face to face because of this. You know, we did have to more rise to the occasion. So you really do have to think about that. You know, you can become at ease with people over time, you know, and you can still be friendly with them and, you know, let them know that, you know, that noise that they just heard was you tripping over the cat and dropping the phone, you know, or, you know, your toddler just stole your headset. You know, these things are viable. They, you know, they sort of build a, you know, some camaraderie after a while. But before that, you really do need to make that first impression, and you need to continue to show that, you know, you're on task. Just because you're at home, you're not goofing off. As that is what a lot of people think, is that, you know, they're in the office, they see that as a distinct separation. When they go home, they may forget about their work. When you're at home, you are at work, but, you know, they see this as you're at home. You know, it's a different thing for them. And that is one of the other, you know, this is supposed to be the upsides and the downsides of telecommuting. One of the most stressful things, I think, at times has been the fact that while I am at home, you know, I am at work. I'm on call unofficially at all times. If something goes wrong, if something goes late, I don't have the, you know, there's no extra thing where I say, well, I'm going to just punt this till tomorrow. You know, I've got to go home. You know, it's, you know, oh my God, o'clock, you know, and it's, you know, instead it's like, you know, honey, I'll take my dinner at my desk and, you know, I haven't gotten up, you know, in all day, and it's, you know, it can really drag on. And there are times, you know, in the last 10 years where it became rough, where, you know, my wife made, told me that I really needed to pass along the point where she once answered the phone at 3 a.m. after my my manager at the time had called several times that night already. And she picked up the phone, and she put the fear of herself into him, such that there's still rumors. And she's the meekest person in person, but when she got on the phone with him, she was just livid. And unfortunately, he was very nice about this. He understood, and he did not call back. And when I didn't pick up, he was like, "May I speak with Daniel?" Yeah. I was like, "Please." So. You know, there is stress there, especially, you know, if you're married, if you have other obligations at home. As one thing that I sort of skipped over here is, you know, how many of you now telecommute? So two, three, good number of you. How many of you are, you know, looking to telecommute and are, yeah. So I guess some of the things that I found, you know, I sort of lucked into the job here, to be honest. I had been working with UUNET Technologies back before all of the, and before they got Borged by MCI and WorldCom, not necessarily in that order. I don't remember these days. And I lucked into telecommuting. It's one of those things, sort of like when a cat gets out for the first time, you know, it's like, oh my God, there's outside. This is great, you know. And for me, it was, we were snowbound. Living in North Virginia, this can happen. If I had just gone into, not turned back from work one day after taking an hour for, you know, what should have been a 15-minute trip, I would have been snowbound at work instead of at home. But instead, I was at home for a week and, you know, tried to do my job as best I could from there. I wasn't set up. I didn't really have all the good tools for it. They really weren't set up for this at all. It wasn't something that they supported. However, there was no way that I could get to work. So I got a taste for this. I was like, you know, now I'm just, you know, how can I get back to doing this? You know, maybe I should go off and work on my own. I lucked into another, you know, this other position that could be offered that, you know, I had the upper hand where I could say, yeah, I want to work from home. I don't want to, you know, work from home in California either. I want to move back to Georgia. And, you know, I'm going to telecommute, you know, from there completely. And because of the nature of my work and because I knew what I was doing, they needed me. And, you know, it turned out, you know, I needed them. It's much better off for me to work with them than to keep on in the pure corporate environment. I was able to do that. So I can't really say, you know, how are you going to present this to your boss? That there are certain advantages to your employer. There are sites out there such as tjobs.com, you know, telecommutingjobs.com, but it's tjobs.com, which have a calculator that they will help you figure out what, you know, what the savings are for a business, and depending on the number of either contract or non-contract full-time workers that they have telecommuting instead of being coming into the office. And this, you know, you have issues where it may cost a little bit more. There may be less effectiveness when you first switch over to telecommuting, just because you're not used to it, your management's not used to it, your coworkers aren't necessarily used to dealing with somebody who isn't right there face to face. They can't just pop in on your cubicle or, you know, look into your office and say, hey, Bob, I need these done in 5 minutes. They've actually got to, you know, look up your number, call you or drop you an email and, you know, go through all of that. And that can be unfamiliar to a lot of people. It's a different process. So it can be less efficient at first, but most people find that it's more rewarding to be able to work from home. You can still work in cases where, you know, that you got the sniffles, you really don't feel like going into work, you know, you could still shuffle out there and, you know, make that, you know, 15-minute commute to grab your coffee, you know, and slowly make it to your desk and still work, even if you, you know, you're feeling a little bit under the weather, you know, take a nap in the middle of the day. If you get the job done, that's an important thing. And again, another thing that a gentleman here was talking about earlier was how his progress was measured, you know, that it was actually by, you know, completion as opposed to, you know, a lot of bosses like to see you busy. You know, they don't want to walk past your cube 5 times a day and see you on, you know, YouTube on, you know, one time and wow on the rest of the time. You know, they're going to, even if you get the job done, then they're going to think that, you know, you're inefficient. But, you know, if you're at home, they can't look over your shoulder so much. You know, there is software out there that they could use for this. You know, they could VNC into your computer and, you know, look over your shoulder and be very intrusive that way. But it's really important that they, you know, that there are clear set goals for the situation, so that you do end up with everybody understands. You know, you have a task to complete. You know what the task is. You know when it needs to be done. They know what the task is. They know when it needs to be done. When it needs to be. And they aren't, you know, bugging you every 5 minutes about it, you know, or worried about, you know, you seem like you got up kind of late today, you know, or you didn't log in as quickly as I thought you would. So I guess one of the things that can help alleviate that, one of the things that we do, and of course we all telecommute, is that we have an IRC channel. You know, we have sort of a virtual water cooler and a virtual office because of this. We can sit there rather than sending emails back and forth and waiting for somebody to get onto this or that, and which had been our original MO for all of this, you know, or calling to, you know, discuss things. We have a private IRC channel. Everybody's logged into that. As a backup, we have, you know, everybody has a IM account so that, you know, if the IRC server has to go down for some reason, if our networking goes down at work, then we can still get together and work without having to, you know, be on a conference call or something like that. It logs so that we can go back through it and see, you know, we know, you know, if somebody specs out something for us, it's written. You know, there's a lot less vagary of communication with that. We have a fairly professional and more net savvy group, so we don't have some of the issues that people may have with they, you know, not having the inflection of speech, you know, and knowing that, you know, somebody's kidding because of, you know, what they said. You know that they're kidding because they wouldn't say that, you know, and it's not, as opposed to, you know, that they're kidding because of how they said it, you know, the way they delivered it verbally. So we do have, you know, those are issues that still would have to be worked out, but having that sort of presence where somebody can sit there and say your name and get your attention, you can hop right there, or somebody else can say, oh no, he said that he just stepped away from his desk, or you know, you can go and have a, you know, set up a room on your own and, you know, confab with somebody else. That is one of the tools that we did not start with and that I have found invaluable to keeping in touch with the office, you know, with the people who log in again, who I deal with on a day-to-day basis. You know, they all get to see that I'm there. We all get to, you know, we know when somebody's there, when they're out. We also, you know when not to call on somebody. You know, we can accept that, you know, Mark needed more Pepsi, so, you know, he left for, you know, a couple of hours, or he left for, you know, a few minutes to run to the store. We know that, you know, instead of, you know, suddenly needing somebody and he's not there. So, I might try and get back to my notes a little bit here. There we go. Let's see. I guess one of the things I drifted off from here, usually I do this with a PowerPoint presentation. I had technical difficulties yesterday when I tried it, and so I thought, I won't waste 10 minutes on that. So I guess I'll wander for 10 minutes. One of the things, another way, if you're pitching this to your boss as to, you know, benefits, you know, for those of you who are looking to try to either, I don't know if you're trying to segue to from a desk job in an office to where you get to telecommute one or more days a week, you know, or where you're looking for work, which is telecommuting, you know, friendly, you know, you're going to switch jobs. But, you know, there are the environmental benefits. As I understand it, there are various states and cities around the U.S. which offer bonuses back to the company. For having telecommuting workers, people who are not, you know, commuting every day, because, you know, it cuts down on automobile emissions and, you know, general gas usage and all that. And from what I, the stats that I found, the research that I did, Atlanta is actually one of those cities. I didn't realize that. I don't know if that was born of the Olympics. So I had high hopes back in the day that, you know, with all the stuff going on here in Atlanta, that more lines would be put in, more people would be exposed to telecommuting, and that it would become more widespread, but it doesn't seem to have really caught on. People really like their, you know, the corporate world likes the status quo of, you know, knowing where to find you from 8 to 5, you know, that you're going to be over in cubicle, you know, 9C, and that's where you'll be, you know, within 5 minutes or so anyway. So that's something that you can pitch. Some places will get kickbacks. It's always good to, you know, go ahead and do the research yourself to find out, so that you can say, hey, look, you know, this is going to help me. I've got these other other things at home which, you know, may make me, you know, unable to continue working here anyway if I did not do this. You know, if I don't start telecommuting, then the cost of daycare is just going to be too prohibitive. I might need to quit my job, you know, or I might need to find something that pays better. You know, or you can let me telecommute and I can, you know, be watching the kid out of the corner of my eye and not have to worry about this. You may also have, if you have a disability, you may be able to pitch it in that way. You know, if it's difficult for you to navigate around work or to be able to get to work, or if this is something that's come upon you, that many companies will make more allowances in that case. Also, if you already have the equipment at home, that can be useful. You know, if you already have some of the things. If you have a good computer, a good net connection, if you're a little bit tech savvy so that you can do your own IT work and not be an additional burden to the internal support group, that is one of the downsides to all this. It will probably be, you know, that would have to be worked out is, you know, how are you going to connect? You know, are you going to have a VPN? Are you going to, you know, what's going to be on your laptop? Is it going to be their laptop or your laptop? You know, are you going to come in with SSH, you know, something nice and secure, you know, or Telnet, or do they already have applications that you can use to connect to their network? Are you going to be able to maintain security, you know, when you connect to their network? are you going to, you know, and pass along some virus that you've got on your home computer because your, you know, kid's been downloading wares all day, and you know, surely it wasn't you, and you picked up something nasty, and now, you know, either you're offline because of this, or now you've passed along, you know, a PowerPoint that has something attached to it more than you intended, you know, or your email does. So those are issues that the homogeneous nature of, you know, a workplace where everybody's on the exact same computer more or less, you know, you don't have that issue. So that's another thing that, you know, if you have these skills, if you can maintain your own computer to some degree, you know, that's another aspect, a way that you can push that for yourself, you know, another way to hype yourself for, you know, a candidate for this. Let's see. I think I've touched on most everything there. You know, the tools that I think have been important for me, you know, other than having the T1, having, you know, proper broadband that has support, you know, has somebody will hop to, you know, AT&T or, you know, used to be Bell South, will come right out there and, you know, work on it until it's finished. Instead of saying that, you know, well, this is something we're working on, you know, it's an outage in your area, you know, we know about this, and, you know, you've been on hold forever. You know, that is something that is likely to be useful if you need to be able to be on the job, you know, on the spot. You know, if something goes down at work, I need to be able to get access. The other things are, you know, I use SSH, so I have a secure secure access. There are a lot of good programs for that. We use, it's been so long that I forget what we use. I don't have it in this user. It'll come to me. There are a lot of good programs for that. There are good VPN programs so that you can get access to the internet, your intranet and your company. That's a problem that we have. I have no access to our intranet. That's a real downside to me. If I need a form, I've got to mail HR, get mail back from them saying, you know, why don't you go to the intranet? I'm like, I don't have access to the intranet because you can't seem to get a VPN to work with the machine that you sent me, as we all have Macintoshes to work from, because ostensibly, you know, the excuse was that, you know, they can run both the, you know, Office software and they are FreeBSD based, and we're generally a FreeBSD shop. So, you know, thus Macintosh, you know, OS X has a little bit of both worlds there. Also, it's just really cool to have the big cinema screen, you know. It's a bit of a perk, you know, after all this time of working on our own machines, that my boss realized that they had a budget for us. That, you know, if we had been in a cubicle, you know, they would have had to buy us a machine. You know, all this after, you know, 4 or 5 years since they had acquired us, we realized that, you know, money's just been going to waste. You know, we haven't been using things in our budget. But, I'd like to just go ahead and, you know, put this back out to y'all. You know, do y'all have any questions or comments or things that you'd like to have addressed? You know, in the front there.
How does your company or other companies that you know about work around vacations
around
or long weekends, things like that?
I am, well, like for this, I'm off. You know, I'm usually, because, you know, I have such a passion for my work, or I'm addicted to it, one or the other, would connect, you know, I'd get the hotel connection and be able to just keep an eye on things. You know, I connected last night, went through the IRC scroll back to see if anybody, you know, said, you know, this is something for Daniel, you know, and it would be in the logs. It's nice and easy for me to go in there and see exactly what's waiting for me when I get back, you know, what horrible disaster, you know, could I have averted had I only been there? But no, we tend to take vacations. We try to maintain availability. What we tend to do actually is cross train. So technically, I've got somebody else who should be manning, you know, different aspects of my job, because I wear so many different hats. You know, I answer the abuse desk, so I've got somebody who's my fallback for that. I work, you know, if something falls down and goes boom with the server, and somebody else knows how to fix that as well. You know, various things can either wait, or, you know, anything urgent, somebody else knows how to do. So, and that's a good thing anyway. You know, if in any business, it's good to have somebody who's your backup. And I can't take vacation when my backup for my primary backup is gone. Fortunately, my other backup, he doesn't really take vacation. So, but for those of us, you know, I go to Dragon Con every year. You know, later in the year, I'll be taking 2 weeks to go out of the country, and I'll probably have internet access from there, and I'll check in. But that's more my issue, you know, that I like to keep tabs on things, make sure I'm not surprised. But from the company's point of view, my boss will tell us if we log in, if we show up on IRC when we're on vacation, to, you know, to sod off and, you know, get gone. That he don't want to see us here because, you know, we'll come back and, you know, we didn't have a proper vacation. You know, we need vacations. We deserve vacations because we, you know, we're, he knows because he telecommutes that, you know, we're at home, but we're at work all the time. You know, if anything goes wrong, you know, pagers can go off at any time. You know, one of us has to answer. It could be escalated to any one of us to take care of things. So, you know, a vacation is an important thing.
So it hasn't been your experience that your company looks at you and says, you telecommute from anywhere.
Early on, it was like that, but it was when I was it. You know, I for a long time, you know, it was a very small company. You know, we grew very slowly, and then it hit a big spurt, and now we're back down to a manageable number of people. But I was it. You know, for if something with relating to Usenet broke, I would be. I'd end up on my cell phone if I didn't have a laptop with me, you know, I didn't have connectivity of some way, I'd sit there and walk somebody through, you know, even if they weren't, you know, part of the company. I walked one of the my coworker's brothers, because he just happened to be the only one of us with access at the time, through going through and finding out exactly what the problem was and doing the right thing to fix it, and just sat there on the phone and did the whole thing, you know, where I was on top of Black Rock Mountain and I, you know, had to fix a machine, you know, log in from there and do this. And really, that was my wife's whole beef, you know, was after a lot of this, you know, you can only have so many calls at 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve before your family starts to feel the, you know, the problems there. So there were, you know, issues there. You really have to, you know, if you're it, you're it. You know, you could get these calls anyway. I have coworkers who, or not coworkers, I have friends who work in an office, and they can be, you know, called up because somebody else didn't answer their pager and they're the manager, or, you know, other people, you know, they, and you can't always shirk it off to somebody else. You can't always have your backup doing it. So does that answer it well? Okay. Yeah.
You were talking about having a dependable ISP for your connectivity. I sort of have two questions. One, do you have a backup? And what do you use for backup?
Yeah.
And also, it sounds like you guys have been in your shop doing this telecommuting for a while. Have you guys dealt with a security threat on a end user's computer, well, one of your coworkers' computers, and then it being compromised? And how did you guys deal with it?
Well, we do have a security policy that requires that each of us, in fact, this is something that I have to, you know, one of my many hats is formulating this, and it is different than if we were in a more traditional corporate environment, that we each may have, you know, I've got, this is my own personal laptop. I will connect with this, however. We are lucky in many regards because we are a totally Unix shop. We don't have, and we finally ditched our last Win2K machine, and it was only there to monitor specific hardware that the vendor only had applications to monitor on Win2K. So we don't have anything that would be easy to compromise in that regard. We have seen more things from our parent company that doesn't have telecommuters where they're like, you know, something from IT comes through that says, don't open that email, you know, and like we're all like, oh yeah, well, we're on Macs, you know, for our official work computers. You know, we either have a G5 or a MacBook. And then we've got our home computers, which are a little bit more vulnerable to it, but we are required to run our own antivirus software. We have, you know, the company has a subscription. We would be considered negligent if we were to be, we could potentially be considered negligent. We could be reprimanded if we were to, you know, get some sort of Trojan or virus or something that could spread onward and did, or which caused us to not be able to fulfill our jobs. And, you know, my boss takes a dim view of any of us not being able to do our own IT to some regard, because we're all technical people. We, you know, that's our thing. And not everybody who telecommutes is purely technical in that way. You know, we've all been working with computers for, you know, way too long, and when we find out that, you know, one of the guys has never built his own home PC, you know, that's something to giggle about, you know, and That's a sort of way that we are now, you know, that we would be highly embarrassed if we got something and it's like, I had to reformat my computer this morning. That's why I was late, you know, and not that we understand what late is either. I'm on the East Coast. My boss is on the West Coast. We have another guy in New Jersey. He and I are usually the last ones to drag in the day. You know, the people on the West Coast, the guys in Salt Lake or in California or in Oregon, all there before we are, you know, show up at 1 or so. I was like, oh, yeah, we're done. You know, we're awake now. And if it weren't for the guy in New Jersey making me look good by showing up at 4, then, you know, I might just get some slack about that. But we keep Hawaii time. You know, we're a virtual office. It doesn't matter where we are. You know, just like we could be on vacation. Yeah, so we do have time zone issues due to that. We have one guy in UK. But we don't really have any security issues because of our unique setup, at least, and because we don't run Windows officially at home anymore, and we don't run Windows at work. So the worst we could do is take out our, you know, coworkers who might have a personal computer and have the nerve to run something like Outlook Express, you know, for their work email, you know, where they could be getting anything, then tell you we definitely get plenty of things coming through there. Pardon?
Yeah, that would be stressful.
Yeah, yeah. my sympathies. Does that answer it well, or any more aspect?
And then back to the first about an alternate ISP backup.
Right now, my backup is the cell phone. It's I haven't had to need to have a backup too much. You know, I could go to a Schlotzky's and, you know, plug in from there all day, you know, or some other place with Wi-Fi, because I have, you know, secure ways of accessing all of our machines. It doesn't really matter where I'm connecting from. I have some extra access from home because I have a static IP. So, you know, that I'm known, but not all of my coworkers have a static IP. Not everybody has a T1. My boss and I have it because we could not get other access. And one guy actually has DSL and cable. And ironically, he can be totally offline despite all this, but fortunately, he's a hardware guy, you know, so he's one of us who has to make any sort of regular trips. He goes to the cage, he has to fix things. So we could call him, you know, if something goes down and we need him to make a road trip. He isn't really needed online so much, but it is hard to find truly reliable internet. You know, you could be down, I could be totally offline. And there are big cases where, you know, the power's out. You know, I'm just sort of out of luck there anyway. You know, I've got the battery backup only lasts for so long, and I generally just tell them, okay, you know, call my backup if something happens, you know, and or call me and I'll figure something out. You know, I'll take my laptop and go to some place with Wi-Fi and see what I can do from there. So that's a big thing there, is that you always have, you know, if you can be mobile, then you can have a backup these days pretty much anywhere. You can go anywhere, you know, and do that.
Since you've got coworkers with cable and DSL, that's a dilemma I always have. My company puts a $70 limit on their monthly expenses. So. I obviously can't afford a T1. What has been your best experience? I've been on DSL for 4 years, telecommuting now, but I see the cable ads, and I'm wondering.
Well, see, I was originally on DSL. Originally I was on ISDN for the longest time, and finally DSL came to my neighborhood. I used that. I had a corporate-level account with them, and I found somebody, you know, I didn't necessarily go with the local phone company because you can get DSL with other people. You may be able to get better deals. You may be able to get a corporate level. I would present the case, you know, if you have outages that are work affecting, then, you know, present the case that maybe you need to get a larger stipend for that. T1s are expensive even for a fractional, and you wouldn't be very happy with a fractional either. There are the line costs, and then there's the actual, you know, connectivity costs. Right now, I really love this because I hate dealing with paperwork, you know, actual physical paperwork. I'm the last person to send in an expense report. I was so glad to get away from that, where now, you know, they're not going to send me I think it's like $350 or $400 bill because they signed up for like 3 years for the T1. Yeah, I was glad that they had that. They showed that much faith in me that they would commit to that. But they, they got a reasonable price for a T1 for, you know, real connectivity there, not shared, not consumer level. But you can get more professional level. I know, like AT&T, or what had been Bell South, had a lot of different packages for DSL, including one that had static IP addressing, and was supposed to be more for telecommuting and more for the professional who might need connectivity. I don't know if they have an SLA though. Like with Quest right now, I call them, they provide the connectivity. If that's down, they call Bell South, well, AT&T, and they will get somebody out there and get it sorted out. And I can do foolish things like tell them that I can can be more brazen with them and say, I know it isn't inside my house. I know it is not my wiring. I need you to fix this now. I need somebody out here to check that box because, I can do this and that. And that also goes back to being able to do your own IT as opposed to being at the mercies of the company. And they're like, okay, reboot your server, your machine. Can you connect now? Reboot your router, going through all that rigmarole. So, I can get onto a Cisco router and, mine and say, I tell you basically what the errors are. And also, they can get onto my router, which is another thing that's nice with a true SLA, a true connectivity like that.
So. Hi, I just started telecommuting myself, and I was wondering, one of the things I'm noticing is that it's really difficult to separate work from home, because you're home and at work 24 hours a day.
Exactly.
What do you do to keep work from overwhelming yourself and getting burned out on the idea of just being home, where you can't even stand being in your own house because there's always work there?
Well, to me, I have a lot of things that I, for a while, and more pegs were real big in my life. I could get, Star Wars Galaxies for me, So, I could get away while being still at home, and, I was an alt tab away from being on another planet, if I really needed a break there, and, I could hear that, the telltale ding on IRC, or, better yet, have the other computer there. Oh, no, I'm here, yep. I'm not on a raid. My boss plays WoW,
Well, I mean, I actually had to go so far as to separate my work and my game. Like, I've got my personal computers in one room and all of my office computers.
That's a good way to do it. I mean, if you segregate it, a lot of people find it useful to have an actual room for it. It's also useful if you want to try to for the home office deduction, which I've found, there's sort of I haven't even found that worth taking, for taxes. I always thought, oh, yeah, that's going to be great, to be able to take that. And for the first few years, that was okay. And then the diminishing returns on as you, move up the ranks there and your salary's greater, you have diminishing returns on what these write-offs are worth to you. And all those darn tax cuts we've had lately, it's just not even worth it to me for that. So now in my old house, I moved, 3 years ago. Old house, I had a room that was the office, and I could close the door. I'd be fairly segregated from, I don't have a TV in my office anyway. I don't like TV that much. I first started, I had a TV where, I set up like this. I had the computer right here, and, a nice curve, the triangular desk, and, there was a TV. Computer, TV. I could look across the room and get distracted, and it just, I found that I enjoyed, my work more, and that was part of the whole thing there, is that, if you can be more passionate about it, or you can be more disciplined about it, and you just know, try not to do, goof off any more than you would in the office. Yeah. My wife rides me, and she gets all nervous if I, if I seem to be goofing off too much. It's like, this is the third time that I've walked by, and you've been on YouTube. She's worse than my boss. It's like, yeah, my boss sent me these links, so...
Do you ever just make yourself get out of the house for a while?
Yeah, I'm not that big. I guess I'm a little different for that. I kind of like being a homebody, so it works for me. I didn't mind when I worked in the, when I had a cubicle and all of that. I like my privacy. I like to be back in the, away from everybody. I picked the cube that, had, had a line of sight on anybody coming, at me, and, I had visions of setting up IR alerts so that, I'd know, so that, I wouldn't be surprised by suddenly looking up and there's a guy just watching to see what I'm doing. It's like, I'm coding, I like that sort that I'm at home, and I don't really feel I need to get out too much. And I'm the driver in the household. So, you know, when my wife, you know, needs anything, I'm the one who has to go get it. You know, I get out plenty. I get to see the grocery store, and I get to see the dry cleaners, and I get to see the grocery store, and, you know.
Fast food joint.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I sort of that's a real bonus to me to be able to be at home. I do have, you know, I have a toddler. I have a almost 3-year-old. So that wasn't the, you know, for the last 10 years, that hasn't always been the case that I've had to deal with, you know, her needing my attention. And that's really been, that's been more trying. That makes it more difficult to separate work from home because she doesn't understand this. Dada is always at home as far as she's concerned. I may think Dada is always at work, you know, and that can make it difficult. My wife has tried to help out. You know, she can pitch in as sort of my secretary. She doesn't have, you know, she doesn't really work. You know, I definitely don't discount her efforts as, you know, domestic avatar, you know, that, you know, she's a goddess of the household, and she can, she gets all this done. She keeps me on track more or less as much as I can be, you know, herded. And she can suggest, you know, times when, okay, this is going to be an hour for Dada time with, you know, with my daughter, and need to go and spend that time. And then maybe she'll be happy, and you know that the fact that, you know, I'm sitting here glued to the computer, you know, also I try and, you know, I put in late hours, so it does bleed over for me. And I've always had that problem. You know, I would have a laptop downstairs so that after dinner, you know, or after eating dinner here and on a TV tray, you know, with the TV there, with my, this is spending time with my wife, then I could open up, you know, take my my plate back into the kitchen and open up. So I don't know that I can really tell you too much other than it is good to try and set boundaries and make them, you know, speak to your family about this and help them help you keep this, you know, and try and be true to it. As if you need to get out of the house, you know, the other thing that I'd come across, and now I'm searching for it, was I had it in my on the OSX machine, and, you know, I didn't save all my bookmarks over here, so I don't have this. There was a new thing that I've seen where some people just don't really like working from home. They don't like being alone. You know, either they have their spouse works and they aren't there, or, you know, their spouse stays home and they can't abide by that either. You know, or they have kids. I've heard of several people who have abandoned teleworking after having children, and that, you know, they get to be one and suddenly they can get to you, you know, and, you know, you just have to get away in order to feel that you're still productive, to still feel that you're, you know, earning your paycheck, whether, you know, your boss feels that way or not. You can, you know, you still have your own self-esteem to deal with there, and the fact that, you know, you don't want to feel that you might be the first one on the chopping block because you're out of sight, out of mind, and you don't feel that you're being as productive as you could be or used to be, that sort of thing. So, you know, that, in that case, you know, they've gone back to work, they've gone back to an office. You know, other people have, you know, will do the proverbial, you know, office over the garage, or, you know, something that's separated from the house. This is, when you're there, you're at work. You know, when you're not, you're not. Don't take any more work home than you would otherwise. So having your personal computer separated so that you can go and you can still be online, you know, which is something that I don't do. You know, I'm online all day, you know, I'm chatting on IRC with both my coworkers and other people who I know on other projects, and I'm intermingling everything. So it's sort of a discipline that you just have to build, and you know, over time, you know, it's, and as life changes happen, as you get married and so forth, you know, or have children, that can throw a monkey wrench into your, you know, finely honed chaos, and, you know, something that worked for you. So I think she had the mic. Did you have a question as well?
I just have a couple of comments real quick. Okay. He was talking about separating the workspace and the home space at home. And I've read some recommendations for people who aren't, you know, as passionate about their work as you might be, that you have to go through not just that, but the whole routine in the morning. Mm-hmm. You have to get a shower just as if you were going to the office, get dressed, not necessarily business form or anything, but, you know, get out of the pajamas, mm-hmm. brush your teeth. For some people,
routine.
That's really necessary as well. And it's different for everybody, but I've heard that. And I had a comment for you too. You're talking about your toddler. Mm-hmm. On the writer's track last year, I heard just real quick this anecdote about a writer whose children kept bothering her while she was trying to write. And at one point, she bought a really silly hat, and she said, "When mommy has this hat on, you do not bother mommy." And it worked. It was That's a real cool. clear signal to them. And now she cannot write without that hat on. So
I can see that, yeah.
That was it. Here we go.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have those visual signals like that, especially for children. The other thing that I'd started to try and remember there is that there are groups now, and these are ad hoc things. It's something that's named after a fruit. And unfortunately for my other panel, there was another thing that was named after a fruit. And I keep thinking of that instead of what it should be. And I just can't get it. But you can search for telecommuter communities, perhaps. Co-working. Yeah, it's like people just open up their home. They'll have Wi-Fi. People can just come in there. Generally, they don't have like an open fridge, but they'll have something where you can come in. You know, you sit on their couch. You can bounce ideas off of each other. I've heard, you know, a lot of people who do contract work apparently find this to be beneficial because they like to be able to, you know, they can do this solo, you know, where they're, you know, they are it, they're the creative mind here, but it's always good to be able to bounce ideas off your peers when it's like, you know, does this website design really suck before I show it to everybody else, you know, or, and some of these people have said that they've had, you know, nice experiences come out of this where they've ended up working on other projects together, they meet people, it's a way to network. And I really am embarrassed. I'm like searching my mind. It's some silly name, and why people pick silly, obscure names for things. You know, it's not trademarking in this case. It's blending it in. It's camouflage. So, if it comes to me, I'll try and get it before the end of the panel. But
In your hiring practices, as you've expanded your team, have you found any ways to tell which candidates are going to be able to work from home versus those that need to be in a team environment?
Yeah. Most of the time, we will talk to somebody. You know, we've slowly done this. We have very low turnover because we are a very tight-knit team. We absorbed some people who had been support for the original company that, you know, borged us as they shut down support centers. They, you know, we needed more people doing support, so we had these people. We eventually transitioned them to working from home because it didn't make sense to keep an office for them, and they were doing the job. We could have an 800 number routed to their home. We can get them connectivity. In this case, two of them who are brothers do go in, and they have computers set up in one of their basements and work from there. So they can work together, and they were the main support guys. So that's it. One of them has moved forward. But we have at times thought, you know, God, we really need to clone our main coder. You know, how are we going to get somebody who can work from home and do all this? And I guess we're snobbish enough or old school enough or whatever that we would look for people who've really been at it for a long time, who have a background in this. Like I worked, from college. It's ironic that, I went to college and it didn't do much for me. I didn't learn much there except for that I got into online games. And then I learned about Unix. And I learned about, you know, the first versions of, you know, Linux that came out. I played around and at being admin on that. And I learned to, you know, telnet to ports and that sort of thing, sort of, you know, just little, you know, experimental type things. And I also ended up falling into projects with people who I never would and never did meet, I'd be unlikely to meet face-to-face to do world building on online games, you know, text-based games. And so I actually found that, you know, this is something that I had been training for without knowing it, you know. So I could go back and tell my dad, you know, in the money that you've paid for my college, it actually worked out, you know, that, you know, the games that sort of, you know, made my grades not so great, they've trained me for the job I've got. So that I'm used to being, you know, because I was an administrator on a DICUMUD, I knew what to do. I could monitor systems all day. I was interested in this. I knew how to work on it. And because I had worked with people who I'd never meet, you know, people who back then when the internet was all, you know, pretty much college students and, you know, a handful of ISPs, you know, were on there, then, you know, I could work with people who were, you know, had the same goals that I did, didn't have, you know, they weren't being paid for this. We just all had that passion for the work. And we could, you know, divvy tasks up. We could accept responsibility. And these were the things that I sort of trained for. If I went and talked to somebody now to hire, part of it, you know, that would be a large part of it to me is I would look for somebody who has had similar experiences with working on projects. I would look for things that are, you know, beyond the traditional. I might even ask them, you know, do you go on raids with your guild on WoW? You know, do you have, you know, have you grouped with people? You know, have you worked online with people? Are you used to communicating virtually with people who you have no facial, you know, you don't get all the cues there? You know, are you used to text? You know, because we do a lot of text. We're all used to text, you know. We've been doing, you know, email forever. You know, I've been on the internet for, you know, 2 decades now. And, you know, most of my boss has been on for longer than I have. You know, he got on as a kid at university through his parents, you know. And it's like, you know, he makes me feel like a youngin'. And, you know, most of my coworkers are similar, you know, old hands. And we just sort of, you know, that's how we recruited them. We went for people who we knew who had already, you know, sort of made their name for themselves in our small field of Usenet. And then we looked for personality, you know, the personality meshed so we could get on with them, because the last thing you need in a testy situation is, you know, where it's all text, is somebody who might take things wrong, somebody who, you know, can't fit in, go with the flow, you know, and mesh with the team there. So that would, personality, just like in a regular desk job, it's going to be an important thing, and as important as, you know, their technical skills, mostly. So I think it's probably almost time. Was there one last squeeze in?
A comment, you talked about keeping track of your time and separating things. Due to a medical thing, I ended up having to telecommute for about 10 months. And I found that, you know, the wife would come in and say, honey, there's water coming everywhere out of the toilet. Could you go look at it now? Well, we had to bill our time against whatever projects we were working on anyway. So we had to keep tabs on how much time you spent on each project. Well, this had an interesting side effect I hadn't anticipated, is I would have to clock out, essentially. You know, nobody actually looks at my logs other than when I turn in the how much time to charge to a project. So I would look at the end of the day and say, oh, I've only worked 6.5 hours. And they'd say, come on, that show's on. Sorry, I gotta put more time in. And so they got used to the idea that when they interrupted me, I was gonna have to work later.
Yeah.
And so it had an interesting psychological effect with the family. They tended not to interrupt me as much because they knew if they wanted to hang out with me later, I was going to have to work because I had to get those hours in. You know?
Yeah, and that can work even if you don't have that sort of strict monitoring. But there are devices out there. If you need something to give you training wheels for a little while, then there are things, there are freeware programs out there. And I've considered them at times when I've done contract. You know, I do consulting work on the side for various things. So I've considered that so that I can, because I have no idea how long it took me. I think, well, this is about right, and I don't feel right charging the guy more than this. You know, but for work, I have an idea of how much I needed to get done. And we have weekly meetings. We actually do speak by voice once a week. And most of us really don't like it, but my boss thinks that, you know, we at least need to go through the motions, and he can report back to his boss that, yeah, we had a conference call. It was great, you know. And, you know, we're talking about how I got a headshot and, you know, Call of Duty, which is another thing. You know, the teamwork, you know, that helps with teamwork there, is we can play against each other. You know, we can all get on, and, you know, we generally like these games. You know, we can go and play together. And that's, you know, it's the equivalent of going out and having the team, you know, team building exercises with paintball, but without the ticks and the chiggers and the, you know, broken glass and so forth. And
I use spreadsheets.
Yeah, you just tracked it on your own. Yeah, but yeah,
that's when I stopped that task for that project.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just glad that I'm project-based, where my boss just expects a certain level of accomplishment, but also understands that things slip. You know, he's not too stringent. We have certain things that have to be done, but most things, you know, just, you know, it's like, this is a, you know, we have end-of-the-year tasks. You know, we're end-of-the-quarter tasks. So we can, if we go away for a while, we need to really focus on that when we get back, or we need to work that into when we set that deadline. And we get called on it. You know, we set our deadlines on a wiki page, which is another thing that's a useful tool. Having the wiki that we can all update to share knowledge of how to fix something, how to not break something when trying to fix it. But being able to communicate like that also means, you know, if I don't finish a project on time, you know, if I keep my boss informed, that's useful. If I can tell him, yeah, I'm having trouble at home, I'm lucky that I have a boss that would take that. You know, he could say, yeah, I've had trouble at home too, you know. So it's most, you know, you really want, in my opinion, to have something where it's more outcome-based, you know, so that they aren't following your hours, you know, they aren't sitting there trying to micromanage you, because if you're going to micromanaging boss, then they are going to think that, you know, you're telecommuting, you can do that from anywhere, or you're telecommuting, you've probably been playing WoW all day, haven't you, you know, that sort of thing. They have a different idea, but if you get the job done, if it has a clear-cut goals, that's really something that's going to make it more successful for everybody and a happier experience for everybody. And I think that's the main thing, you know, build your discipline towards that, to getting the project done and being happy with that. So, I think that's
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming here. I really enjoyed hearing your anecdotes as well.